Hello.
Hello, guys. This is Yusuf.
And Genoa.
And this is...
In-Flight Entertainment.
The throwback episodes. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
All right. So we're about to get down, dirty, bloody, and just, you know, nasty with the movie Bloodsport.
Yes. The movie that sort of made Jean-Claude Van Damme famous.
Yes.
And for those of you that are not familiar with the synopsis, this is a quote-unquote true story that follows Frank...
Dukes,
an American martial artist serving in the military, who decides to leave the army to compete in a martial arts tournament in Hong Kong, where he fights to the death can occur. And the fight is called the Kumite.
Uh-huh.
And it's not, well, it's a true story, but we're not sure if the Kumite actually really happens in real life. Uh-huh. According to the real guy, Frank, it does.
Uh-huh.
But there have been reports in the media on whether or not that's an actual thing. I think some reporters went to Hong Kong and interviewed people to see if it happens, but they said no. But if you watch the movie, that's sort of how the entire...
Yeah.
Like, there's actually a reporter character in the movie that is in Hong Kong interviewing people to find out if this thing really happens, and everyone's like, Kumite, what?
Exactly. But it's an underground tournament.
It's a fight club.
It's a fight club, you know, a la Mortal Kombat minus the supernatural stuff and beheadings and stuff.
Right,
like that.
Well, this is sort of the inspiration for the video game Mortal Kombat.
Exactly. Yeah. yeah, like I said, minus the lightning and the mysticism, stuff like that.
Right, and the Kumite, and I don't know if it actually says this in the movie, but I sort of got that you had to be part of a family... like heritage, because at one point they ask him, who are you fighting for?
Right.
And he shows like the
his scroll or something like that.
Right, his sensei's license. Yeah.
License to kill, yeah. I guess. Yeah, you know, interesting. Okay, so it stars Jean-Claude Van Damme, and it also stars Bolo Young, whoever watches Bruce Lee films, Enter the Dragon. He's the big guy who always kind of gets his ass kicked.
He plays the big baddie in this movie and in a few other movies.
Exactly. And Donald Gibb, a.k.a. Ogre from Revenge of the Nerds, is in this film.
So part of the story is that Frank Dukes, Jean-Claude's character, has run away from the army, the military, mm-hmm. To go compete in this.
Right.
And there's two MPs that travel to Hong Kong to bring him back because they don't want him to get hurt in the fight.
Forrest Whitaker plays one of them.
Right. He's like the fumbling, goofy, can't run or stand up straight at all.
Total Keystone Cop sequences that's just classic. Hilariously bad.
Right.
You know, chase sequences, you know, through the streets, you know, dodging bicycles and stuff like that, and hopping over those little boats. Yeah.
Whatever the boats are called.
Yeah. I'm just like, oh, such a cute chase sequence.
Right.
You know, and Frank Dukes kind of looking back, smiling at him like, oh, come on, keep up.
He stops and sits to wait for the cops that can't run and keep falling over each other.
I was like, oh, you crazy Americans, even though he's an American.
Right.
Yeah. In the movie.
Right.
And so once we enter this dark and violent tournament that is the Kumite, we are introduced to all these different fighting styles, right?
Right.
Which
interestingly, one of the martial artists that's competing, it's the first time he's like the first Westerner or American or something to actually use Muay Thai.
Yeah, the Muay Thai.
And so that was the first time it was actually seen in a film, I believe.
Mm,
which I thought was kind of cool.
So that paved the way for Tony Jaa and
all
his awesomeness later.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Krav Maga.
Gotcha. Yeah. Wait a minute. Who was doing Krav? Which fighter?
I'll find it. I'll find it.
Yeah. And so pretty much it's a bracket situation. You know, they match fighters up with other fighters. And whoever wins advance to the next bracket. It's like the process of eliminations, things like that. You can beat your opponent to a bloody pulp, or they can forfeit, or you know, say what is a say uncle. Well, you have to say mate or something like that, or uncle or something like that.
Basically, uncle.
Yeah, uncle. And that means you forfeit, and the other person wins. So those are only two rules of the fight. Everything else is just pure bloody mayhem. Jackson, the other American that's with him.
So there's actually a couple Americans, but he's the main American that they follow.
Right.
The other American.
Well, he befriends Jackson.
Right. Because there's a stupid bar scene at the beginning of the movie
I'm still trying to figure out how did Jackson get in
there. They never explain how, like, the big, goofy white dude
he's
got
like
invited.
The big Hell's Angel biker dude with the bandana. Just in there like, oh, I'm here for the Kumite. They're like, oh, okay, come on in. That was interesting. So They're fighting, and then the gentleman mentioned the reporter, the lady reporter, who fancies.
I'm sorry. I mean, it's
Frank Dukes.
It's just another opportunity to throw like a romance into a movie where you don't necessarily need romance, and that's such
The upside for you ladies, you got to see Jean-Claude's bare bottom.
Right.
There you go.
You get a little ass action. Not that way, but ass viewing.
So I guess some good came out of it. I don't know. Not for me though. Anyway, it's a pretty straightforward movie. No complex subplots, no big revelations, anything like that. Even though throughout the movie we see flashbacks of Frank Duke's training from his master, you know, which is, you know, cue your montage of the training, him being between trees, strung up by the ankles to do splits.
Right.
You know,
doing splits in the air, basically.
In the air, air splits, because we have to show Van Damme in split.
Which, right? Apparently, that's a real training thing. It teaches you how to meditate and center yourself, even in extreme pain.
Okay, well, good for them. I'm not doing that. And so we see his skills as a fighter through his training in the flashbacks. So we know he's the real deal. He's not just, you know, some white boy that's in over his head and a culture and the place that he don't know about. And it's like, no, this dude is the real deal. And to prove he's the real deal, he had to break a brick. It was a stack of bricks.
Right, but that's not the only reason why they asked him to do that is because he had the family scroll.
Right,
and only that one family apparently knew how to do that. And so if he really trained with that master, he would be able to break that.
So it was, I don't know, maybe like 6-7 bricks high, the stack, and he had to smash the bottom brick. So, you know, he channeled his inner Van Damme-ism and
IMDb on the trivia has the flashback runs 10 minutes and 56 seconds, the world's longest flashback event in a film ever.
Nice.
I don't know if that's real, but trivia.
Wow, really? Was it? So all that combined was 10 minutes?
It's almost 11 minutes long.
Wow. It was some long scenes in the flashbacks.
But also, like, I feel like the flashback is important because it shows the relationship between Jean-Claude's character and his mentor, but also the boy that he was training with as a kid, who was actually the sensei's son.
Right.
And so they don't actually ever come out and say it, but I feel like the last scene, the second to last fight when, what's his name from the Bruce Lee movies?
Yeah, Bolo.
He has a quote that says, "You break my record, now I break you, like I break your friend." So I think the reason why the sensei's son wasn't competing in the fight and Jean-Claude was that the previous year his partner in training had been killed by Bolo because Bolo had won the year before.
Gotcha. Wait a minute, I have to go back to that because when he said that, did he deliver that line after he, effed up Jackson? Because remember, he effed up Jackson, took his bandana, and then he was like, "I break your record like I broke your friend." Didn't it cut to him, pointing at the bandana when he said, "I broke your friend"?
Oh, I have to go back and...
I thought that was it, because Van Damme was, looking pissed off because he, showed, the...
Oh, maybe. I assumed it was because he broke his sensei's son the year before, and that's the only reason why Van Damme was in the competition was because the other person that trained couldn't.
Right, yeah.
Because it's family honor to come compete in this thing, and he didn't have his son to send.
Right. Yeah. So we gotta do a revisit because we need to figure it out. Because
right.
I thought the last battle happened.
I watched this a few days ago, but honestly, I did fall asleep in the middle of all of the. of it.
You fell asleep to a Bloodsport?
And then woke up right as he was delivering that line.
Mm.
So...
Because after he defeated Bolo, remember, he took the bandana off of him.
Yeah.
And he was like, "Oh, I got it back for you." You know.
Right.
Yeah.
It just added to why he had to beat Bolo because of...
Yeah.
So many reasons besides him being evil. And he does actively seem to get pleasure out of hurting and killing other fighters.
Yeah, because he had a victory so horrific that the masters turned their back on him the way he won because it was dirty or something like that. And then Bolo was just whatever. And then he walked off the mat.
Right.
Yeah, and I was trying to figure, okay, so it was Krav, it was I remember the black.
Well, there's Muay Thai. Because the real, where is it? The Paulo Tocha, who plays the Muay Thai fighter, is actually a real life champion.
Okay.
So.
The fights were cool.
They got real fighters.
Yeah.
So when you're watching these fights during the movie, they're really hitting each other. And so there's some amazing scenes where they hit the skin and the skin slowly ripples out.
Yeah, the slow motion bleh.
Yeah, that's not CGI.
No.
That's someone really being hit.
Yeah, that was some real sparring there.
Right.
Yeah.
Which we're going to review American Ninja in another episode where I watched the two movies back to back, which you should not do.
Especially these two.
Right, because the fighting in Bloodsport is amazing. I don't know how much of it was choreographed or it was just sort of, okay, go out on the mat and spar.
Mm-hmm.
But it was crazy.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Yeah, and I know the important fights were, of course, choreographed for emotional height and payoff, right? But the regular ones that were getting knocked out here and there and was advancing up the charts and stuff like that, those seem more real, because they were kind of just going at each other. The cutaway fights.
Yeah.
Things like that. And I just kind of figure out, okay, which style the black dude was doing when he was monkey style? That was kind of I don't know, dude. What are you doing? And so he would roll around.
Right.
And
they had this dude from Africa and then he was, he was acting like a chimpanzee, sort of.
Yeah, because he would climb on your back or kind of just pop, 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 pop. Yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah,
but we don't need to dwell on that one. yeah, so different fighting styles. Like I said, it was definitely a precursor to a lot of fighting games that you see, like Street Fighter and like Mortal Kombat. All the I'm sure there were game developers back in the day that seen this movie and was like, hey, we found our roadmap to fighting games. And there you go. So, you know, Van Damme, his debut. Actually, okay, this is the movie that made him famous, but it was not his debut. Okay, I'm about to give you guys a fun fact, and we're going to do a review on this movie also in the future. Nice. It's this movie called No Retreat, No Surrender. I forget what year it came out, but he was a baddie in No Retreat, No Surrender. And people who, like, all my 80s geeks would probably know this movie. It wasn't big. It was low budget. It was so corny. But Van Damme was the bad guy in it. He was a Russian. He played a Russian bad guy martial artist. And we're gonna review that one in the future. But it's so corny and awesome at the same time. But Bloodsport is the movie that put Jean-Claude Van Damme on the map.
No Retreat, No Surrender looks like a bad takeoff on Rocky, but with martial arts.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. You must watch it. But like I said, we'll do the review on that one. So hold your horses, boys and girls.
Wait a minute. I just have to say that right before that, he was in a movie called Monaco Forever. Okay. Where he plays gay karate man.
Wow. Okay, we need to find that movie also.
He was in Breakin'.
The first one?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
He's a spectator.
Oh, okay. Like, no. I would have spied Van Damme in Breakin' if he was doing any kind of pop locking on the floor. It's like, dude.
He's a spectator in the first dance sequence. So now we have to go watch Breakin'.
Oh, no. We're going to do review on Breakin'. And Breakin' 2, of course. Electric Boogaloo. We have to do the back-to-back. Wow. See? He's, you know, slowly, right. You know, did his
thing. Well, yeah. He was a working actor for 3 or 4 films. Yeah,
you know, he went from spectator to gay karate man.
Right.
To Russian bad guy karate man. To Frank Dukes, the American... who saved the Kumite, or won the Kumite for his family.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, progression, baby steps.
And he won the girl and then went back to the military and served his time, apparently.
Yeah. And then he went on to, of course, he had like the titles at the end of like what happened to him. Then he like go on to win X amount more Kumites and
I didn't read the titles. I stopped it before the titles and then went to go watch American Ninja because I needed to get all of my like bad martial art movies out of the way. And then I watched American Ninja 2 and downloaded 3 and 4.
I did not. I only suggested the first one. You the one that went further into Ninja.
I can't wait to see what happens in 3 and 4.
Oh, wow.
It's so bad. It just kept sucking me in. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. So you're going to hear the American Ninja review soon. We just setting up all the movies that you're going to hear reviews for Throwback Thursday. But as far as Bloodsport, what's your verdict, Jennifer, on it?
I mean,
We just keep it in the context of like an 80s film. It's like... Right. You know, and not everything 80s films were.
Right. I mean, when I was a kid, I did enjoy the movie because I liked the fighting scenes. I am so not a girl when it comes to these movies. Get rid of the romance. I like the fighting scenes.
Agreed.
But I don't know if I'd actually actively download it and watch it on a plane today. Unless I've completely ran out of things to watch, maybe I'd watch it, but there's so many other movies out there that I could spend my time on. It's a good movie to have on in the background where you're cleaning the house, and it doesn't really matter what's going on.
Okay, so
some turbulence. It's not smooth flying. It's not right. Crash and burn.
Yeah, it's in the middle. Right. Yeah. But I'm trying to...
For nostalgia.
Right. I'm trying to rate it on a nostalgia 80 scale of films, right? So...
Turbulence.
Yeah. Okay, I give it turbulence that ticks up just a peg too.
Because it makes you think of things when you're a kid and playing Mortal Kombat and...
Yeah.
Spending lots of college hours in someone's apartment where we're drunk and...
Yeah.
And stoned and playing Mortal Kombat till the sun comes up in the morning.
Those were the days. What was your Mortal Kombat character?
So I don't actually play those games. Sit on the sofa and watch other people and judge them and yell at them. I'm very, very good at that.
Okay. But picking up the controller, you're like,
too many buttons.
Gotcha.
I'm way more old school. Just give me the joystick and one button.
Okay. Yeah. Like Centipede, stuff like that.
Missile Command, Pac-Man, Frogger.
Hey, I'm all for it. I'm going to say... My one. I'm going to go with Raiden, the lightning guy. I'm going to Raiden. Raiden, the lightning guy, that was my go-to Mortal Kombat character. And Street Fighter, Chun-Li, she was my go-to for Street Fighter. Because she do like the lightning kicks. I give it turbulence with just a little bit, just a touch of a peg up to a smooth. So definitely I give
it because of nostalgia.
Because of nostalgia. Okay, yeah, so all right, let's get into, well, we have to include, so let's throw back Thursday. We have to incorporate the nostalgia element.
I mean, if it's 1980, yes, this is definitely smooth sailing.
Oh yeah, if it's not flying, okay. Yeah. So if we're back in 1980, what's it, 87, 88? 88. Okay,
Yeah,
exactly. I got my members only jacket on and I'm watching Bloodsport.
I have my white jean jacket on, yeah.
And boom, rocket hammer pants and watching Bloodsport. What else?
I think that was the year that I went to go see MC Hammer, Vanilla Ice, and Invoke in concert. So, yes.
Mm-hmm. See? I called it. Yeah. And then when the concert was over, you went to see Bloodsport. No, it's like... Wow. Man, that was an awesome show. Okay, was MC Hammer headlining?
Of course he was.
Yeah, of course.
Guess who the best performers were at that concert?
The best? And it wasn't Hammer?
Between In Vogue, Vanilla Ice, and MC Hammer.
It had to be In Vogue.
In Vogue. Yeah. Oh, yeah, hands down.
Yeah, I heard In Vogue could rock it.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Sidebar there, yes.
Yeah, once they start busting a cappella and doing their thing. Yeah. They don't need a lot of spectacle behind them.
And this was before they actually were pretty popular, so no one knew who they were.
Mm. Yeah, because that's when they were on their first album.
It was their first, yeah. They didn't really start to blow up, I think, until 90, 91, when they started partnering with Salt-N-Pepa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Wow, you went to the Hammer. I'm jealous because I always wanted to go to that one. And I'm sure Vanilla Ice set was maybe 15 minutes long or
right,
less.
Right, he played his two songs.
was it Play That Funky Music and Ice maybe? Did he do anything?
Basically, that was it.
Oh, Lord. Mm-hmm. Okay, I remember a few years ago. No, it wasn't a few years ago. Well, it was... maybe 2012, whatever. We were in Vegas, and Vanilla Ice was performing outside between the Harris and another hotel that was right next to the Hard Rock or something like that. Not Hard Rock, Planet Hollywood. And it was an outdoor thing, right? And so they were charging...
To go see Vanilla Ice?
Yeah, it was outdoors, though. No. Honestly, if you went back a few feet, outside of the roped area, mm-hmm. you had, a good vantage point. Why the hell?
And you didn't have to pay, yeah.
And, but, we were halfway into our drinks, and it was over. I was like, dude, Like, he only gonna say like two freaking songs. How are they charging for this? This should be a free show. And so, you know, of course he did Ice Ice Baby for like, he stretched that out for about 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Then he did, you know, play that funky music. I think he did a third one, so like right, that no one knows about. And then he's like, all right, good night, y'all. And, you know, like, oh, we still got our drink.
Didn't pay to go in, did you?
No.
Oh, okay.
Because we were about to go in, but the guy was like, oh, no, it's X amount of dollars. We're like, what?
No.
It's like, okay, Vanilla Ice, and who else is with him? Right. Like, no, it's just Vanilla Ice. Like, peace. And so I think Chris is like, wait a minute, hold on. If we, like, just stand right here next to the bar outside of this outdoor area, like, we just see him fine. And we just like, yeah, we can't see him. We're here. So we just, let's just get a drink and just watch him.
Smart.
Yeah. And then, like I said, 15 minutes later, good night, y'all, and left.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if only Vanilla Ice contributed towards the Bloodsport soundtrack.
Oh, that would have been awesome. Wait.
He could have put Ninja Rap. Could have been his version of Ninja Rap.
Yes.
In Bloodsport.
Only if we could go back and rewrite history.
Yeah, I know.
Have Van Damme and Vanilla Ice meet each other.
And they do like a music video, yes. Or an MTV music video. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Van Damme have like the Vanilla Ice.
And be hosting Yo MTV Raps or something.
Yes.
Yeah, the white man version.
Just have Van Damme do random splits.
Yeah.
Just because.
And breaking bricks.
Okay. I'll be remiss to mention the final battle between Bolo and Frank Dukes, as in put up your dukes. Bolo was so dirty that he had like some powder. He had some crushed up powder.
He threw it in
his face, yeah. Temporarily blinding
Dukes.
You know, he couldn't see.
He tapped into his meditation, yes, from doing the splits.
Not before he goes into his scream, his slow motion scream rage, right, when glistening, oiled up muscles outward screaming in the air. I mean, it's the best slow mo scream of a person delivering a scream in agony you could ever see. You know, he has his eyes.
He's screaming because he thinks he's just lost everything until.
And then
he realizes that he needs to listen to his sensei.
And then he closes his eyes.
Finds his center.
And then we cut into part of the 10-minute long flashback of the training, right? Mm-hmm. And then he gets his clarity
center.
He centers. And then he, you know, start wailing out on Bolo. Knocks him out. Not knocks him out, but knocks him down.
All of the acting in this movie is horrible, but the fighting is beautiful.
Oh, totally.
So, I mean, just, they need to give me an edited version of the movie of just all the fight scenes. With some better music than's actually in the movie. But,
oh, come on, Fight to Survive. That song is like quintessential.
Yeah.
80s.
It is awesome. Very 80s. Coo, yeah.
And he had like, oh, Fight to Survive! You know, it's like that, like, yes, kick him.
It's very Scorpion-esque.
Yes. Almost Final Countdown-ish, yes, you know, yeah. A little bit, that vocals. But yeah, but I was fine with Fight to Survive, that music in between. Yeah, I was cool with that.
I'll put my own music on, but thank you. Yeah.
You got to fight. See, yeah. That's a good workout song, you know, Fight to Survive, you know. So when you and Heidi is like going up that, you know, hiking, you know, when he's like,
I put together music mixes for some of the people on my team to exercise to.
You got to give them Fight to Survive.
I'm going to give them Fight to Survive. See what they see what messages I get from them.
Yeah. Just like, this is, thank you for giving us Fight to Survive. I mean, it really changed our lives. Thank you, Jim. That's awesome.
False. All these little millennials are going to be like, what the fuck is this?
Like, is it a remix or something? Right. I don't get this. But yeah, so Bloodsport, definitely a good throwback film to watch. Sit back, enjoy the fight.
Right. I think it's on Amazon Prime right now for free. So you can watch it while you're cleaning the house or whatever.
Yeah, or if you want to learn some martial art moves, just watch it.
Right. Or be inspired to go learn some moves.
You know, if you want to bust some bricks,
right,
you know, Yeah, just be careful.
Don't break anything in you.
Exactly. Yeah. Just learn how to do it. If you guys want to learn how to do those splits, you know, just watch the 10-minute flashbacks, and
right.
maybe that can give you some motivation to, you know,
to do some stretching.
Godspeed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we dug it. Flashback. Awesome.
Lots of nostalgia.
Lots of nostalgia. You'll dig it. If you haven't seen it, see it.
I don't know why. We have a friend that hasn't seen it, so. I'm very sad about her childhood because there's so many movies that she did. What was she doing if she wasn't watching TV or movies like the rest of us?
Beating people up. I think she was like the Bolo. Like just bum rushing people. You know, like, you are next. You break my record, I'll break you like I broke them.
Poor Jen.
We love you.
So, yes, download it, watch it, clean the house to it.
Work out to the soundtrack.
Or not.
All right.
And that's Flashback.
Throwback
Thursday.
Flashback of the Throwback Thursday. I hope you guys enjoy yourself and hit them with some information they need to...
Oh, right. We are on Facebook. But more importantly, we are on your favorite podcast places to listen, whether that's iTunes or Google Play. Download us, listen, subscribe, rate us. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook. But most importantly... download us from your favorite podcast.
Yes, and to all of our listeners, new listeners, old listeners, thank you. We appreciate the support. Please, you know, spread the word of Inflight Entertainment Podcast. You know, above all, we appreciate you guys giving us a listen. So until then, we wish you guys safe travels and
peace.